We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chof. Matzilin Sal Malaiki Karot. So we had before, remember, the Mishnah that described for us precisely what it is that you are allowed to take out and from a burning home. And what we said, besides the dinim of Kisvei Kodesh, was that you could take enough for Shalosh Seudah. So all of a sudden we have a Mishnah that seems to contradict that. And the Mishnah is saying, you can take out of your burning house a whole basket full of loaves. And that would be, I don't care if it's enough for 100 meals. Or you could take out a whole beautiful igul shel dvela, which are these gigantic cakes of figs, pressed figs. That could be enough for 100 people. You take out a whole barrel of wine, even though it's obviously a barrel of wine is a lot more than you need for a three suddas on Shabbos. And you can also tell other people to come along, bo vatzilu lechem, come and take as much food as you want. If these other people are smart, they will make a deal with you after Shabbos, and they'll take some money. We'll see what that means, because, I mean, l'chora, all of the stuff is hefker. If you said, got to take what you want, so then what kind of deal would you make? All to be discussed in the Gemara. And, of course, the contradiction to be discussed in the Gemara. L'echad matzilinoto. So where are you allowed to take all of these things? Machlokas l'chatzar ha-mu'orevet. So either you could take it out to a normal chatzar, which has an eruv. Now, that's not much of a chiddush. But remember, we said before, l'gabe shituf b'va'ot, the same idea, that according to the Tanna Kamma, even though we're not giving you much of a dispensation over here, the concept of the dispensation that we're giving you is by assigning you a particular amount of food that you'd be allowed to take out. And even though you'd have to take out into a place that is mutter anyway to carry, but because of the gezeira that we don't want you to come to Chilul Shabbos and putting out the fire, we actually could have told you don't take anything in the house, just walk out. But this is what we're giving you to take, and that way you won't look at it as, whoa, what a mission, and just throw yourself into it and completely forget about Shabbos. So by putting a specific number to what you could take out, you take away the sense of desperate emergency, and therefore the person won't come to forget about Shabbos. So Ben Betera Omer, just like he said in the other Mishnah, when it came to the dinim of the Mavo'ot, the difference between a Mavo'i Satum and a Mavo'i that was Eino Satum, here too Ben Betera says, no, the Chachomim were actually Mekel, even on the din of Erevin, and because of that, they allowed you to take it out, even to a Chotzer She'inam Urevet. And you can take out anything that you're going to be needing for these meals. In other words, you need tablecloths, you need dishes, or sakum, whatever you need, you can take out. And not only that, you can wear whatever you're able to wear. Okay, go vesh, as long as you put it on yourself. Put on as much as you want. Put on 10 suits. V'yotev kol mashu yachola atov. Put a talis, and I put another talis, and then another talis. You can put as much as you want on yourself, even though obviously you wouldn't normally walk out like that. Now, there's a machlokas rishonim, whether this means you can only take those things out also to the Eruv, like the Tanna Kamma, or whether this then, when it comes to wearing something, that wouldn't be considered to be hotzah b'chlal. So over there, the chachomim would be made at that it doesn't matter. And therefore, you're wearing it, go even into a mokum that there's no eruv, because the idea is there's no hotzah here. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no, you can't wear more than you usually wear. That's considered to be a type of carrying. What you can wear is the normal 18 different types of things that people generally would wear together, that you can take out. And then you can go back into the house and take out more clothing again. And each time you can change your clothes, come back in, take out more clothes, and so on. Now it's a machlokas over here. Rashi learns that this is going back to the Chachomim. The Chachomim, who say that you can wear as much as you could possibly wear, it means you can do that multiple times. But Rabbi Yossi, who says you're only allowed to wear the maximum that you would wear at one time in a normal day, he wouldn't be allowed to take it out again. Many other Rishonim argue on Rashi, and they say, what's the difference? I mean, if Lamaisa Rabbi Yossi is not arguing about whether you're allowed to do it multiple times, the svara of multiple times is that people often change their clothes. So what's the difference if you want to change your clothes? You decided to change your clothes. Okay, so that's a question whether this last piece about Chozer Veloveshu Motzi is going Davka according to the Tanakama or even Alibud Rabbi Yossi. And here too, you can tell other people, Bo Vatsilu Imi, come and get some of this clothing out together with me. Now note that before, when it was talking about the food, he was able to tell people, Bo Vatsilu Lachem. He couldn't say to them, help me to get out more. He only could tell them, take it for yourself. So how come over here, he can tell them, take it for me? Not clear. Gemara will discuss. Okay, so the first obvious question we have is that the Mishnah before, which was the Reisha of this Mishnah, said Beferish, like that was the whole big deal. You could only take out enough for three Su'udot. That was a question, whether it means three Su'udot no matter what time of the day it was, like Rabbi Yossi, or whether it was three Su'udot, depending on how many Su'udot you still have left to eat. But in any event, here it says, Vitulo, you can't take out more, and here it says you can take out as much as you want. 100 people, whatever, big, gigantic barrel of wine. Amravuna, well, obviously there's big difference, isn't there? I mean, Lokasha, Kamba Balahatzil. I mean, look, it seems clear that the case in our Mishnah is where this already exists, right? In other words, you've got this immense barrel of wine. You've got this immense barrel that has figs in them. And you have one gigantic basket that's got 100 loaves of bread, whatever. So, I mean, you want to save an existing basket. Fine. You're not going to take out different things. You're taking out one thing. So take out that one thing. So what we're saying is, if you're taking out one thing, it doesn't matter how big that thing is. But when the beginning of the Mishnah, and the Reisha, the Mishnah we had before, it's talking about Babala Kapel. Over there, you want to create a bundle. A bundle is generally, we use the word kapel, according to some Rishonim, we use the word kapel literally. In other words, it means you're going to put down like a talus or something, and you're going to start collecting stuff, and then you're going to bend the sides of the talus over and tie it and pull the whole thing out. That's what we use the word kapel. But the question is whether that's just a metaphorical usage, like Rashi learns. The kapel simply means, in practical terms, you're gathering things together in order to take them out. And because of that, there's a big difference. If you're coming to be matzil, you matzil whatever's in it. Doesn't matter how big it is. So matzil at kulan, even if it's 100 for 100 people, it's one barrel or one basket. But if you're bala kapel, once you start having to grab this and grab that and grab this, so then already it's a problem. You could only be kapel mazon shalosh su'udot. Now there's a machlokas over here whether that means that if you're bala kapel, does that include the concept of, like, let's say you've got 100 little baskets, right? So you want to throw all of these baskets into one thing. So if I understand that, if you're putting the food into one container, maybe that would be okay, as the Gemara is about to say. But the question is bola kapel mean that you're gathering together different kalim, but you're only going to walk out one time? Or does bola kapel, by definition, mean that you have all of the food out of the container and it's only in one container? Rashi learns that if you're being mekapel, it would mean separate containers. That's the kapel. And it doesn't matter whether you're only going to be walking out once. Rashi Enkein, other Rishonim learn, no, if you're only walking out once, that's bala hatzil. Bola kapel would mean that now you're walking out a lot. Now the question is whether, how would we consider the kippul when you're trying to create one bundle? We're going to get to that. So Rabbi Avivar Zavda, Amar Rav, you don't have to say that. It may very well be that you are actually gathering together a lot of different containers. And there's still not a problem because over here we're talking about where you were going into your own chatzar. Masha Einkein in the Reisha of the Mishnah, there we were talking about the halacha, where you're going to be going into an area that is normally usur, and you're going into a chotzer acheret, where over there you're doing a lot of tircha, even if there is an eruv, but it's a much more tircha to start running out. So there the Mishnah said you're not allowed to be matriach. Again, that creates the sense of emergency. Now, boy, Ravuna Breder of Yeshua, what do we mean exactly when we talk about Babala Kapel? Suppose you take your talus, you spread it out on the floor, and you start throwing everything into the talus. Now you're going to be mekapel meniach, mekapel veniach. You just keep putting on more. So now the question is, okay, but now I have one container. So can I take out that container? And that's considered to be bala hatzil? Or is the very fact that now everything is needs to be gathered together, that would be considered to be, by definition, bala kapel, even though it's not in separate containers. It's just the food that was in the fridge. I'm throwing all the fridge into my talis. So midi omar rava, says the Gemara, maybe tashma. Midi omar rava. Rava said, remember we had the braisa before about the halacha of if a barrel of wine breaks on the roof, right? So we said that you are allowed to take that one big container and you can collect the wine as it flows off the roof, as long as you're careful not to bring another container and catch the wine that's flying off of the roof, or to put up a container at the edge of the roof, that you can't do. So over there, Rav Chisda said that Rav Shizbi said to Rav Chisda, who said that over, that make sure you add the words that bilvacho yavi klishu machzikyo tebishalo sudot. Do not bring a barrel to catch the leaking wine if it's going to hold more than 3 meals worth of wine, right? And Rava said, Rav Shizbi really forced Rav Chisda to say the wrong thing. You know, sometimes you go to someone and you keep draining them a cup, right? Until they finally say, okay, fine. That's exactly what Rav Shizbi did. Well, I mean, isn't there a problem if there's going to be more than 3? No, yeah, why not? So anyway, he finally got Rav Chisda to say those words. Now, if Rava said, and that was a mistake, and Rav Shizbi just pressured Rav Chisda into making that mistake. Shmamina, so apparently if it was a mistake, that it really doesn't matter. As long as it's only one container, then I don't care how much you're being matzil. Even though over here, when you're putting it next to the roof, it's dripping in slowly and you're basically collecting all of that wine, it doesn't matter because you're allowed to collect as much as you want, as long as what it is that you are carrying out, even if it's more than 3 meals worth of wine, it doesn't matter since it's only one act of being matzil. So since that's what Rava said, and that Rav Chisda shouldn't have given in to Rav Shizbi, apparently, shaper dummy. So apparently, it's not a problem. If you dump everything in the fridge into the talit, it's not a problem. Again, question would be, according to Rashi, if these things were in separate kelim, okay. Now, Omele Reb Nachum by Yisrael Rava, when you say it's a mistake, I understand that could be your opinion, you know? But when you say it's a mistake, you're making it clear that there's something that he overlooked, and it's obvious that that's not what he should have said, and he should not have given it to Rav Shizbi. Why? What's the mistake? Well, Marlai said, Rava, read the Braita. The Braita said, Ubevach lo yavi kli acher, viklot. Don't bring another kli and collect it. Don't bring another kli acher v'yitzaref, and put it up to the roof at the edge of the roof. Why does it say another kli? Why is that the point? Because that is the point. You can't bring another kli, but you can use whatever kli you have, no matter how big it is. That's exactly what he's trying to say. And that's Rava pointing out. It's ridiculous to say on that braita that's stressing, I'm only ushering another kli, to start telling me that I should add the words. And of course, you have to make sure that your own kli is not more than 3 su'udas, because then that's what it should have said, not to bring another kli. So you see from that, that is dafka kli acheru de lo avo barumana, in the same container, kamadaboy matzik, save as much as you want. So that seems to be a clear proof about our question. The next thing we had, again, this is another one of those misleading opening words, because it has nothing to do with the ego shel tvela. But what we want to discuss over here is the next part of the Mishnah that says that if they are pikrim, if these people that did the work on Shabbos are smart, then they'll try to make a deal with him after Shabbos. Okay, well, what does that mean? What do you mean, cheshbon? Why do they have to make a deal? They basically walked off with his food because that's what he said. He said, you come along and take whatever you want. And the truth is, many Rishonim say, even if he wouldn't have said it, it wouldn't have made any difference. Because since the fire is going to burn it all up, at this point, it's considered to be Hefker anyway. Doesn't matter whether it's like the case in where a raging river comes and takes away your boat. What are you going to say? That's my boat. That's my boat. It's not your boat. You no longer are a Bialim on it. It's Hefker. So the same thing is over here. And I said, well, Mefker Kazachu. Why in the world do they have to make a deal? Keep whatever you want to keep. Rav Chisda, no, obviously. I mean, but still, people are uncomfortable taking from a guy where they know that he didn't really want it to be Hefker, so they feel bad. So because of that, it's a midat chasidut. You're right, mitzad hadin, obviously, you could have taken it. But these people are going lifni mishurat hadin. Amar Rava, what do you mean? Chasidus, this is chasidus. What kind of chasidus is this? Is the Rebbe there? We're asking, what kind of chasidus is this? A chosid takes money for work on Shabbos. Dos rufmin a chosid. What kind of chosid is that? Right? Okay, that's a very, very good question. So that doesn't make sense to call them chasidim. No. Elam HaRav, they're not chasidim. But they're Yorei Shamayim. So why are we saying Yorei Shamayim? Because remember, it's the posik is the Ashrei Kol Yorei Hashem, and then it goes on to say that if you eat only what you yourself make, so then Ashrecha v'tov lach, right? But if you take from other people, so they don't want to take from other people. It's Yagia Kapecha. This is not Yagia Kapai to walk off with this guy's food. So because of that, they want to be Ashrei Kol Yorei Hashem. So I'm a Yorei Hashem. But to say that I'm a chassid, I'm not a chassid. He owes me money. Basically, it's my stuff. I'm going to be giving it back to him. So I want to make a deal. You know what? I mean, what do you think it was worth for you to get it back, okay? I want to be paid. So why does it say if they're pikrim? Because they have to be pikrim in order to understand that there's no problem in that and that there's no question of it being Sechar Shabbat. It's not Sechar Shabbat. So Elam HaRava, Hacha B'Yorei Shamayim Askinat. V'lo Necha L'Delitanei Me'achirim. He doesn't want to be Nena from other people. On the other hand, B'chinam Lo Necha L'Delitrach. He's not interested in working for other people without getting some kind of remuneration, right? So if he was a chassid, I understand that he's mevater completely. A chassid means that he's even going to be mevater mishalo. The Yorei Shamayim doesn't want to be Nena Machirim, but why should I pay him? I don't understand. He owes me money. So what the Mishnah is saying is, ima yo pikrim. So what do they need to be pikrim about? They need to be pikrim about the fact the yadi dekai gavna lavschar shabbatu. Because if they're just like frum and obsessive, so then they'll say, well, I can't ask the guy for any money because then he'll be paying me for doing work on Shabbos. These guys are bright enough to understand that that's not the definition of Schar Shabbat. The fact that somebody ex post facto is going to compensate you for something that you did, and you did not make a deal to work for him and being paid on Shabbat, is not called Schar Shabbat. And because of that, Osim Imo Cheshbon, Li'achar HaShabbat. Okay, then continues on the mission. Where are we allowed to take him out to? And of course, this is also another one of those very misleading introductory pieces. What it's really talking about, what do you want, Reb Barnea?
I think many years ago, Rebbe told us to look, if it says chulu, then it means the words that are further on and not the two words.
Yes, thank you, that's true. But it still is misleading. You can just say the words that you want to say. So what it's really coming to talk over here is the words that say, that bo vatzilu imi, right? Now, why does it say over here? When you're telling them about the food over there, it says, come and take it for yourselves, which is why we said it was hefkera, right? So there it says, ikhtani lachem, mashenken, in this last piece of the Mishnah, which is talking about saving the clothing. So over there it says, imi, save it with me. Says the Gemara, well, of course. Gabi mizonot, it says lachem. Because I myself am not allowed to have more than 3 sudot because I don't need more than 3 sudot. So therefore, I can't tell these people we need more food for me. We need more food for you. So I have to say for you. But when we're talking about clothing, avagabi levushim, it's over there I can have as much clothes as I want. I want to change my clothing 10 times a day. No problem by changing my clothing 10 times a day. So mishum dekachazile lekule yuma. So over there, I can have as many clothes as I want. Therefore, when I tell them to come and save it, I'm telling them, listen, I don't want you to keep the clothes. Tana Rabbanan. So we said in the Mishnah, and this Brisa takes it a little bit further, you're allowed to put on your clothes, then you take them out, then you take off the clothes, then you go back in, then you put on more clothes, then you take them out, then you take off the clothes. You can do this all day long. Take out as much as you want. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no. You're only allowed to take out the 18 clothing that you would normally wear. Now, obviously, this is a description of the type of clothing that were in his period. This is what they would wear. But it's the same thing would be true at any particular point in history. Whatever is a normal levisha bechol. So again, remember it's a machlokas, whether that means you also, Rabbi Yossi is saying only 18 and you can go in and out, like Rashi learns, or like many other Rishonim learn, led by the Ritva, you could go in and out, afil alib the Rabbi Yossi. So what are the Shmonasre begotim? Now there's many different, pshatim in this. I'll take the ones that are like, the most normal, but there's a lot of like widely differing kind of explanations, because these were not begotim that were in use already by the time of the Rishonim. So you can wear like a miktoren. Miktoren is a smoking jacket. That's literally what the word means, right? Miktoren, the smoking jacket kind of thing. And then an unkali and a putna. An unkali is like a whole outside long coat and a belt that you would wear around that coat, not to be confused with the belt in your pants, or they didn't wear pants, but a belt around your waist and your inner clothing. And you could wear a kalbus shel pishtan. So that would be like a more of a, on your body, a tight baguette of linen, and a chaluk, which is like a more of a shirt, and a piliot, that would be like a robe, a ma'aforet, that you put around your head, and shnei safrikim. So these would be like, things that you use to hold up the equivalent of socks. It would be like garter belt kind of things, it appears. Shnei minalim, to shoes. Shnei anpiliot, to socks. Shnei pargod. And then you could have these long equivalent to our pants, but they're just leg coverings that keep your legs warm. And they extend up. They cover your leg like a pant. And you could wear a chagor shebumotnav, your belt that is closer to your body, not your outside belt on the coat. And you could have a hat on your head, and you could be wearing a scarf or a handkerchief around your neck. Rashi seems to learn more like a handkerchief, because you use it to wipe your mouth when you eat. And so, but whatever is normal is basically the issue. We don't have Richie, and we warned Doc he's got to be on call tonight. And so, Doc, you ready to go?
Okay. Sukta Commissioner.
Okay. All right. So now, the Shaila is, we've never talked about, what do you do about the fire? All we've talked about is like, okay, what can you get out of the house? Is there anything you can do about the fire? That's a whole different issue. So Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas Omer, look, yes, there are things you can do about the fire. I mean, you can make it difficult for the fire to continue burning. So you can't put it out, but let's say you've got a fire on something that's made out of wood. Okay, so then on the other side, where the fire hasn't reached yet, you could take like a or shel gidi. You could take hide that is still, damp hide, and it's not going to burn. And you could put that agabe shidati va'omigdal shachaz be'emet ta'ur. Because what will happen is that it's going to singe it, but it's not going to be able to burn it. So basically, it'll just die out. You could also take a bunch of bottles and you could fill them up with water, and it doesn't matter. They're filled or they're empty, whatever. And you make like a mechitza in front of the fire so that when the fire gets there, it's difficult for the fire to cross. And that would be to prevent it from spreading, but not to plan a way in which you would actually put it out. So that's Rishvil Shalota Avor Hadleka. Rabbi Yossi says, well, you can't use kalim that are going to bust and the, all the water will go out because that's already a gram kivui. So you'd have to be careful not to use new kli cheres because they're still very sensitive to heat and they might burst. And you fill them up with water. Those type of kelim are not going to be able to withstand the heat and they're going to crack and the water's going to gush out. So then you're actually being goreim the kibui directly. You can only do enough to prevent the fire from spreading, but you can't actually do something that would put it out. Omrev Yeromarav, talit shachazbo ha'ur mitzad echad. Let's say you have a talis, but it's already starting to burn on one end of the talis. You'd be allowed to put water on the other side of the talis. Ve'im kafta, kafta. If it ends up actually spreading through the talus to the point where it not only prevents the fire from spreading, but it actually cools the fire and puts it out, that's fine. You'd be okay in doing that also because you didn't directly pour on it. And by the way, there's a question over here, are you allowed to pour water on a talus? Because isn't that considered to be koveis? Because you're washing it. So Tosis learns it doesn't mean literally on the talus. It means next to the talus, you know, because otherwise it would be like putting it into a washing machine. However, it's not so push it because, in fact, la halacha, we talk about maybe there not being an iser of kvisa in the event that there's nothing dirty on the talis. Furthermore, let's say you use a liquid that dirties the talis. It's also a question. It's not considered to be koveis if you're going to use dirty water or wine or something, right? Okay. So then, even though it was kofta, we'll talk about the question of a dovrish and a miskaven shortly. Meitve, talicha chazba ur mitzad echad, poshta u mitkaseba. Look, I mean, what you can do is you can take the talit and you can spread it out so that now the fire is not going to be able to get the whole talis because the whole talis is folded right on top of itself. And that way, when you open it up, you can put it on. And look, if that ends up making it that the fire goes out, it'll go out. V'chein Sefer Torah shachaz ba'ur. So unroll the Sefer Torah and start reading it. And if that puts out the fire, that puts out the fire. So that is called only a gram kivui. It's not a direct kivui. And so there would be no problem. So now the question is, if that's true, then it seems that you can't put water on it. I mean, if you can put water on it, so this is rather obvious, isn't it? I mean, even water. So apparently what Rav Yehuda said is wrong, because Rav Yehuda said you could actually put water on the talus. I mean, that's pretty clear from here that you can't. Answers the Gemara, Rav Yehuda was going like Rav Shimon ben Anas. Rav Shimon ben Anas said in the Mishnah that you would be allowed to put that skin over the box to prevent it from burning. What do you mean? That's the whole point that Rav Shimon ben Anas is saying. All you can do is something that prevents the fire from continuing. Isn't that what he's saying? You're not allowed to do something that's going to cause the fire to go out. So what are you telling me? He's saying like, Eimer de'omer Rav Shimon ben Anas, b'pnei shu mecharech, because it's going to prevent it from spreading, but not because it puts out gram kivui mi'amar. Did he ever say you'd be allowed to do something that would cause it to actually go out? Says the Gemara, yes, because look at the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah says that Reb Yossi says, now wait a minute, I mean, you can't use the type of kalim that are sensitive to the heat and that will burst and put out the fire, okay? So if that's Reb Yossi's shita, then he's obviously arguing with Reb Shimon ben Anas. In other words, the Tanakama before, which was Reb Shimon ben Anas, Michlal the Tanakama Shari. And therefore, even if Lamaisa, it will be Goyre Mekivoy, and the Kalim will burst, as opposed to the Sheet of Reb Yossi, he holds, yes, you are allowed to do that. So apparently it was Matir Gram Kivoy. Tana Rabbanan, in there, She'al Gabe Tabla. So let's say you have a Nair that's on top of something that's a flat board, and you need the board for something. So what you could do is you could shake the board, let the nair fall off, and if it falls, if it puts it out when it falls, so fine. So it'll put it out. Not the end of the world. Now this is a little bit weird. What do you mean not the end of the world? I mean, what exactly are we talking about over here? It's a big machlokas in the Rishonim. First of all, are we talking over here what type of nair are we talking about? Are we talking about a candle that is made out of wax? Where over there, if you let it slide off, it's very possible that it won't go out, in which case it's not going to be a, if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, so then since your kavon is not to put it out, so then it would be no problem. Is it talking about specifically a oil lamp, but it doesn't have oil in it currently, and it's on its last oil that is burning, and you won't be spilling the oil out, because if you were spilling the oil out, then that would actually be a type of kivui for spilling. However, there's some very fascinating halachas over here in the Rishonim, which we haven't really met before. And that's the question of, since you do not have any kind of desire to spill out the oil, even if that were a psik resha, it would be a psik resha de lo nechale, because why would you want the oil necessarily to spill? But there's tremendous chidushim here in the Meiri. The Meiri suggests that in a case where you're talking about something which is both a malacha she'en tzricha legufa, which according to Rabbi Shimon is only aser mirabbanan, right? So over here, it's obviously a malacha she'en tzricha legufa. There's no particular gufa served by having the candle go out. And furthermore, it's a davar she'en miskaven. So in a case where it's a malacha she'en tzricha legufa, Rabbi Shimon doesn't aser, even if it's a psik resha. Fantastic chiddush of the Meiri, which is pretty amazing. He also suggests another pshat, which is that when Rabbi Shimon asers a psik resha, he doesn't aser a psik resha that comes through a grama. And since over here what you're moving is you're moving the tabla, and if it rolls off, it rolls off, then you were only gorem the psik resha. Rabbi Shimon doesn't aser a groma of a psik resha. He only asers it if you'd actually move it biyadayim, not cause it to happen. Those are two big chidushim that are very iffy la halacha, but it's definitely something to remember and to take into consideration where shilas come up, particularly where it's nogei a big hefsid of momen, which obviously we're talking about over here in the event that there's a fire.
Isn't it implicit in the Gemara here that it's not a psik resha? If it happens, it happens, but...
No. We haven't finished the sugya yet. Okay. Wait. Amar Divei Rabbi Yanai. So first of all, Rabbi Yanai says that this whole idea can't be that you're allowed to be Menayer the Tabla if you put it there on purpose, because then it would be a basis l'davar ha'asar. So then the Tabla itself would be mukta. And forget about the question of kivoy. You're not allowed to move it. So that means, this thing happened by accident. You lit the candle, you had every intention taking it off of the tabla, you forgot. So there was no time in which was benyuchet as a basis davar ha'asr. Avo b'miniach, if you left it there on purpose, then it becomes a basis davar ha'asr, and you wouldn't be allowed to do anything with it. Now, another brighter, similar to this, is a case where you have a ner she'achorei hadelet. That's not clear. Tosis explains a ner she'achorei hadelet means that the candle is attached to a lamp holder that is on the back of the door, so that when you move the door, you're actually moving the lamp. From Rashi, the Pashta says, it's talking about maybe the chashash of a draft. When you open the door, you may hit it, because it's not on the door, it's behind the door, you may get a gust of air that's going to cause it to burn out. But in any event, it says over there, it doesn't matter. You can move the door, you can shut the door, open the door, whatever you want. And if it goes out, so it goes out. We don't care. Now, Layat Allah Rav. So Rav cursed this psak. Now, many of the Mefarshim learned that included in this Rav's cursing the psat is also the previous din about the tabla. That Rav thought that was terrible. So he mamish cursed it. What do you mean you cursed it? Like, what's the problem? Is it because Rav holds like Rav Yehuda, who holds that the Dover Shen Miskaven is Osir, and this Tana was going on Liba the Rabbi Shimon, who holds that the Dover Shen Miskaven is Mutter? I mean, that's ridiculous. Just because Rav holds Rav Yehuda, he's going to start cursing out a psak that's going like Rabbi Shimon. I mean, come on, he's not a maniac. So call the Tonic Rabbi Shimon, Milat Laitla. Amar Lay, so he said to him, no, because Rav held that in this case, even Rabbi Shimon is Maida. Because Abaye Varav Adamra Tarvayu, Maida Rabbi Shimon Bipsik Resha Velo Yamut. So Mimela, he considered it, Rav considered it to be a Psik Resha. How can you avoid its going out? And because of that, he held that even Rabbi Shimon would have asserted it. Another din that has to do with this is a very common situation where there's a wind blowing, and you're concerned that if you open the window or you open the door, that the gust of wind is going to affect your Shabbos candles. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Poteach Adam Delet Keneged Medura B'Shabbat. If you've got a burning Medura, if you have a fire in the fireplace, you're allowed to open up the door even though there's going to be wind. Layat al Abaya, and this time it was Abaya who was doing the cursing. So B'maya Skinat. So let's first get the case straight. I mean, are we talking about that there's just a regular breeze that's coming in? So what would be usher about that? I mean, that doesn't, things are made in such a way, if you got a fireplace, then you're not going to be blowing things out in the fireplace when you open the door on a normal day. And if you're talking about that it's a big storm blowing, so what would be the answer? Obviously, it would be usher. Says the Gemara, because, of course, we're talking about a Ruach Mitzuyan, therefore there's no real chashash at this particular moment. The problem is that Abaya held that you've got to aser that kind of thing because it's so common that you have a very particularly strong, gusty day, and people won't remember. They're not going to take into consideration I shouldn't open the door today just because my fireplace is on. So because of that, I'm gozer, that you should have asered it in any event. Umar Safa reviewed, obviously held, lo gazrina. Now, the last piece of the mission we had was osin mechitza. You can use things that are even filled with water. And Rabbi Yossi says, well, don't use the type of kelim that burst very easily. So wait a minute. So in other words, you're saying, like we said before, that the Rabbanan, meaning Rav Shimon ben Nanas, they hold, like we proved earlier, that gram kivui is mutter. There's not a problem in causing the fire to go out. And Rabbi Yossi is the one who's machmir, and he says, no, you do have a problem. But if you take a look at this braita, you see just the opposite. Rabbi Yossi, it's not literally just the opposite, as Tosis points out, but you see it tending in the opposite direction, in that it's Rabbi Yossi who's the one who's more makel, and the Rabbanan that are more machmir. Because here it says in the Braita, you can make now a mechitza out of empty kinds of kelim, and you can use even full kelim, if they're the kind of kelim that are not going to break, ein darkan leishtaber. And the ones that are not considered to be worrying that they might break would be metal kalim. So elim leim shen darkan leishtaber. Use metal kalim. So what's the problem? The water in the metal kalim is just going to cool things, but it's not going to burst to put out the fire. Rabbi Yossi says, even the clay cheres that are made in Kfar Shichin and Kfar Hananya, those don't usually break. So in other words, everybody's mitzvah that you cannot actually do a gram kivui. According to this, that's why it's not the opposite of the Mishnah. So even the Rabbanan say you can't do a gram kivui, and they're arguing about how makel can you be about the chashash that the kli is going to break. And in this case, Rabbi Yossi is the one who seems to be makel because he says you don't have to worry about the kli breaking. Now, if you're going to tell me that maybe we've got it backwards in the Mishnah, in other words, maybe Rabbi Yossi indeed is the one who says, I don't care what kind of kli, you can use any kind of kli, and the Rabbanan say, no, it can't be new kelim. Okay, and then how do we understand Rabbi Yossi in the Braita? That Rabbi Yossi in the Braita is saying, look, according to me, I don't care, because I hold gram kivui as mutter. But even according to you, who hold that gram kivui as usher, I mean, at least, why do you say only metal kelim? You should be allowed to use even the klecheres from Kfar Shichin and Kfar Hananya. No, you can't say that, because you can't actually flip the opinions in the Mishnah. Umimatzit afkatale. The Omar Rabba Batachlifa Mishmeda Rav, Mantana Gram Kivui Osir Rabbi Yossi. So clearly we knew that it was Rabbi Yossi, 100%, that said exactly what we think he said here in the Mishnah. Gram kivui is always osir. El liolam lo tepuch. Okay, fine. So don't flip the Mishnah. And instead, understand the Braita to, you're missing a little piece, okay? Let's understand the Braita to be entirely Rabbi Yossi. So the Braita is kula Rabbi Yossi, and that's why the Braita is saying you have to be careful not to do the Gram Kivui. And there's a little piece missing. So it should say like this. Osim mechitza bekelim rekanim, or bemileim she'en darkan lehishtaber. And the following are kelim she'en darkan lehishtaber. Now, kli matachot, that's where we got up to in our girsa. Now add these words. And klei kvar shichon kvei chachananya nami ein darkan lehishtaber, because that's Rabbi Yossi shita. She, Rabbi Yossi omer, af klei kvar shichinu klei kvar chananya ein darkan lehishtaber. Says the Gemara, but wait a minute. We've got a much more powerful kind of problem over here. And that is this question of whether causing things to happen is considered to be an iser or not, is actually really reversed here. Because Rami Rabbanan, Rabbanan, Rami the Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, take a look here. We have, obviously, it's a completely different issue, but it still seems to be no gea. Let's say somebody wrote the shame of Hashem on his skin. So now he's got a problem. He's not allowed to walk. He can't take a shower. He can't put any kind of oil on his skin. He can't stand in a place where it's filthy. He can't, what happens if he has to go to the mikveh and there's a chiyuv to go to the mikveh? A tefillah shel mitzvah. So then what he should do is, he should take a bit of reeds and cover over the Shem Hashem, and he should go into the mikveh. Rabbi Yossi says, no, if he has to go to the mikveh, he should go to the mikveh normally. Just make sure that you don't rub the Shem Hashem directly, because that would be erasing it directly. Okay, so what is this saying? Is saying that Rabbi Yossi holds you're allowed to be goreim, the shame to be erased, and the Rabbanan hold, no, you're not allowed to be even goreim. So over here, it's literally a reversal of shitas. The Rabbanan are the one who are makbid on groma, and Rabbi Yossi is the one who is not makbid on groma. What happened? Well, Sisi Gemara is very different. What's the mocker of not erasing the shame Hashem? The omakro, the ibatemech mamina makomahu, lo tasun kein Hashem elokichem. So what are we saying? Don't do to the Shem Hashem what you would do to Avodah Zarah. Now, what you need to do Avodah Zarah is you go out of your way to smash it and destroy it. So it's saying, don't do that to the Shem Hashem. So it's specifically saying, only Asiyah is Aser, but Gram Hasiyah is Mutter. Therefore, Taina is Rabbi Yossi. When it comes to that halacha, I'm Matir. I understand it. And on Shabbos, it doesn't say Asiyah. So it's the same thing. Lo ta'aseh kol melachah. The same thing. Only asiyah is aser, grom is mutar. I'm a mamanushach. If you understand that the word lo ta'aseh kain, so then why isn't the same thing over here? Okay, that's true. But remember that when it comes to the question of doing things about a fire, we always have this other issue. That if we're going to allow you to be goyrem the kivoy of the fire, then we need to be worried that he's going to actually do more than just be goyrem. And he'll let a little water spill directly on the fire and so on and so forth. As we said, this was a very important operative principle when it came to dealing with fires. We're always choshesh. This idea of, you know, because he's Bohol Al-Mamana. So Yisharit Leyati Lechavuye. Okay, fine. Okay, but let me ask you something. You just answered Rabbi Yossi, but you know what? You made the question on the Rabbanan even worse. So now it's even worse. I mean, it was a problem before, but now it's really a problem. I mean, it's a kol shekein. Because Yochi Kashad Rabbanan Ad Rabbanan. If over there, even where we're talking about a fire where we ought to be concerned that Adam Bohol Al-Mamaynai, the Rabbanan say, no, it doesn't matter because it's only a groma. So Koshkein over here with the problem of having the Shem Hashem on your skin, they should for sure not allow him to cause it, right? No. But can you please think seriously about this matter? How do you understand the bright that you should put a piece of reed on it? It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense at all. Look, Vetisbra, explain to me, how tightly are you actually putting on this piece of reed over the shame? I mean, if you're going to be actually putting it on tightly enough to prevent the water from penetrating, so then you got a chatzitza, for heaven's sakes. So inamahade kavechatzitza. And if you put it on lightly enough that it's going to allow the water in and not be a chatzitza, then why is it any different? Then you're still letting water in on the shame, and you're telling me that that's usher fuel, that the grama is usher. So anyway, don't you realize that you don't understand the braita? The braita doesn't make sense the way you're looking at it. The issue cannot be the question of the grama of the erasure of the shame. There's got to be another issue. Chatzitza, oh, yeah, hold on a second here. You just reminded me. What do you mean chatzitza? How can he go to the mikveh? Isn't the ink itself a chatzitza? I didn't think of that before, but now that you bring up the chatzitza, I mean, typically mishum dio, the ink is a chatzitza. Now, the ink, we could be talking about that the ink is damp, okay? It's still fresh, right? Now you need to go to the mikveh. Okay, so now I'm back. I'm asking you again. So explain to me what the problem would be. If the ink is wet, it's not a problem. Remember, because we have the bright adam, adyo, advash, vachalav. So all of these things, you have blood or ink, milk, honey, all of them, only when they're dry, are considered to be a chatzitza. If they're not dry, they're not a chatzitza. My only problem is with this business of putting a reed around the Shem Hashem. Explain to me, what's that for? Mikom kom kasha. So therefore, you don't understand the Braita. Let us redefine what the machlokas over here. The machlokas in the Braita has nothing to do with gram of the Ibud Hashem. It's a totally different issue. The issue is, are you allowed to go to the mikveh and expose yourself naked to the Shem Hashem? So the Rabbi Bar of Shila says, the reason the Rabbanan say it's usur is because you can't stand in front of a Shem Hashem and you've got no way to get it off of your skin and you have no way to get away from your skin. So what you're going to have to do is you have to cover it. But you cover it, obviously not tightly. You allow the water to get under it because we're not concerned with the grama. That's the whole point over here. So because of that, it's usur lamod bifnei Hashem Aron. That's the issue. And what are you telling me? And according to Rabbi Yossi, what? You don't have to be mechabit the Shem Hashem, and you could stand naked in front of the Shem Hashem. I mean, that doesn't make sense. Why would he not be? This comes directly from Lo Yireh B'Chayav V'Davar. I mean, that's a pasuk in the Machaneh, right? So you not have Erva Davar means you don't expose the Shem Hashem to Erva. No, of course Rabbi Yossi holds its usher. So cover it. What do you mean cover? Put your hand on it. Put your hand over it, okay? So now, are you? Is it visible? No, it's not visible. So are you naked? No, you're not naked, as far as the shame is concerned. It's covered, says the Gemara. So then, according to the Rabbanan, that's actually a lot easier than finding a reed to tie over it. How come the Rabbanan say you can't put your hand over it? The Rabbanan say you can put your hand over it, but you know darn well what's going to happen. You just remember that you need to shampoo your hair, and you take your hand off for a minute to get the shampoo. Oh, my gosh, I totally forgot, right? So what do you mean, put your hand over? You can't rely on that. Zimna de mishtale, you're going to forget that you're covering the Shem Hashem with your hand. Vishakale, and then you're going to take it off, and then you're going to be over on exposing the shame to your own nakedness, which is a direct lo yireh b'chayav v'davar. So, and what, Rabbi Yossi thinks that's not meaningful? Obviously, you're going to forget. So Rabbi Yossi nami, zimna de mishtale v'shakale. Okay, so you know, now we get down to the basics over here. The issue over here is something completely different, right? The issue over here is, believe it or not, the question of whether tefillah bismana mitzvah, actually, which is crazy. But here's how it works. If you've got a piece of this gemi, you've got a little bit of reed handy. So everybody's made it. Well, so of course, you just cover it over with this reed or with whatever it is that's going to cover it over and not be a chatzitza. Tie it gently. And then there's no problem. The problem over here is that a guy is in a tight spot, right? So, we're talking about over here the question of he's got this problem. He has the Shem Hashem. He has to go to the mikveh because it's a mitzvah for him to go to the mikveh now. And it's the time that he's becoming tar for whatever it was that he made him tameh. And this is the moment that he becomes tar. So at this point, you're mechuyev to go to the mikveh if you hold tefillah bizman a mitzvah. So what we're talking about over here is whether you're supposed to not go to the mikveh and instead search for a piece of gemi that may take you till tomorrow. So the Rabbanan say, that's the point of the Rabbanan. Okay, so fine. So you'll spend a week finding something. I don't care. Go to the mikveh later. You don't have to go to the mikveh today. They all tefillah bizman, a lav mitzvahi. So why shouldn't you cover up the Shem Hashem? So do it the best possible way. Umadrina, look around until you find something suitable. Whereas Rabbi Yossi holds that tefillah bizman is a mitzvah. And therefore, you're just going to have to remember that you have to keep your hands on it. That's the point. And this is nogea, this whole machlokas is nogea, lamaisa, the question of whether you would go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur, which leads to the next problem. Ask the Gemara, but that's not true. Rabbi Yossi holds tefillah b'zman mitzvah? We learn just the opposite. The Braita says like this, a zov and a zova and a mitzora and a mitzorat and a boal nida and a tamei mate, obviously talking about where the seventh day now comes out on Yom Kippur. So they go to the mikveh during the day on Yom Kippur because that the mitzvah, they're not going for tainug, and they're mechuyev to go because, what do you say, go tomorrow? I can't go tomorrow. This is the day that I become Torah, so I'm mechuyev to go today. A nida, and v'yoledet, obviously, as you recall, over there you only go at night because the shivas yimei nida complete at night. The shivas yimei tuma of the leda is completed at night. Now, obviously, this is not nogei b'zman hazeh because of the chumris that we have that we just take on. We pretend that this woman is really a zava gedola, so there's for sure no din of tefillah b'zman mitzvah on her because she really is Mr. Tefillah, which should have been at the end of her 7 days of nidais, even when we pass in that tefillah b'zman mitzvah. So because of that, a Baal Keri on Yom Kippur, he's Tov of Allah, Chalei Yom Kippur, could go to the mikveh anytime during the day, as long as it's before the evening. Fine. And it's Rabbi Yossi who says that, no, there's no point. You don't have to go to the mikveh if he became a Baal Keri then, because wait until after Yom Kippur. So then that means that Dafkitz Rabbi Yossi who holds that he's not mechuyev to do tefillah b'zman mitzvah. So what are you telling me, that Rabbi Yossi is the one who says tefillah b'zman mitzvah? Nah. Yeah, you're right, except it's a different Rabbi Yossi. Remember we had that whole sugya about Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, like how many times a Toya, where she's not sure if she was a Yoledes, if she was a Yoledes Bezav, she didn't know whether she had a boy or whether she had a girl. It was a miscarriage, right? So we said over there, according to Beit Hillel, we came out with 35 different tefillahs that you need. According to Beit Shammai, forget it. I mean, it's an unbelievable number of tefillahs. And in over there, it said that Rabbi Yossi Barebi Yehuda Omer, that Daya tefillah b'achrona, she doesn't need any, she needs one tefillah. At the end, where there's no longer any sfeikas, then she goes to the mikveh. What's the point of going to the mikveh? She's not going to be able to rely on that tefillah anyway. So that was because it was Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel that were holding tefillah b'zman mitzvah. So maybe today is the day. I mean, obviously she can't rely on it because it's a suffix, but maybe today is the last day, it's 7 days of her leda, or maybe today is the 14th day of her leda of a nikev, and so on and so forth, whatever all of the sfeikas were over there. So even though it's only a maybe, 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 but that maybe is enough to be mechayev of her. And there it was Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who said, no. A maybe is ridiculous, because why is she going to the mikveh? It's not going to help her. And that must mean that Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda holds that tefillah b'zmana is in a mitzvah, but Rabbi Yossi is not Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. And because of that, the Rabbi Yossi that we're talking about over here, we know who Rabbi Yossi is, remember. Who's Rabbi Yossi's daddy? Abba Chalafta, remember? Omer Rabbi Yossi, Abba Chalafta, my daddy Chalafta. So we ought to always, the Stam Rabbi Yossi is Abba Chalafta's son, so it's Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. So anyway, he holds that, in fact, tefillah b'zmana is a mitzvah, and therefore works out beautifully. That's the whole machlokas between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yossi, and has nothing to do with our sugya whatsoever. And this allows me to wish you all a wonderful Shavuot Tov. Yes, Rabbanea?
So I just, we chazudis, when we pass by Tzomet Chalafta next to Kfar Hananya, it's a good time to chazur all these sugyas. But excavations of the past decade, both in Shichin and Kfar Hananya, well, over a decade, have found production centers, particular types, and also they're tracking now, Mati Aviyam is tracking distribution across the Galil and into the Golan of the Kalim and Kfar Shichin. So the production centers, these things are known, and it's our neighbor, David Adan Bewitz, who's made a famous analysis of the Kalim of Kfar Hananya, what is their composition, their silver content. It's very interesting to get into this particular sugya, why they're not mishtaber, but they were the pros.
Excellent. So now we have a tremendous chiddush, and that is it's not only Rabbanea's neighborhood, it's Rabbanea's neighbor. We're getting there. And it's not only a beautiful day in our neighborhood, it's Rabbanea's beautiful neighbor. Well, thank you very much. Okay. Thank you, and have a Shavua Tov, everybody.